This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm here today, again, with the luminous.
Thank you. I knew you were going to say pedantic, political.
With the.
Pain in the ass.
With everybody's favorite. You're the mod of this podcast.
Jeez. And honestly, that might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah.
I love a B. Arthur.
Oh, God, who doesn't? Janine Gagliardi. Forgot to say her name. This episode is our wrap-up of San Diego Comic-Con 2019. We didn't go.
No. I'd like to.
We have the internets.
Would you go?
I would love to go. The only thing that stops me is my crippling debt.
I just don't like waiting in long lines.
I hear that when you do go, like, the big ones like San Diego or New York,
yeah,
like you will catch polio. Like you,
oh my God,
you will come
like you need
back
shots before you go.
Yeah, like you will come back with something.
Oh my God, I want it. Like I just desperately want, like, not that I have the money to do it, but like a VIP option where I didn't have to wait for anything. I could just like I have a seat because I just the idea.
So
of
hold
sitting,
out until that's a possibility.
Right? The idea that I'd have to sit outside of a hall for 6 hours and like miss everything yeah. else and like not get to visit any of the vendors that day because I was just waiting to get
right.
into Hall H is
right.
so.
You were
crushing.
Waiting for the cats panel.
Yeah.
Well, maybe at one point.
And I know that's like really bad because then it's like you're telling fans basically like if you don't have money, then you can't get a good seat. But man, if they would take my money, I would give it to them.
Mm-hmm. I hope at one point we just get press passes for the show.
Well, that would be great.
So we didn't go, but we have the internet. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're not going to talk about everything. We're talking about the things that we give a crap about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start, though, with something interesting, which is kind of already I'm breaking the rule because it's not from San Diego Comic-Con,
okay,
but it's information that I have gathered in the last couple days. So I've gathered three interesting things about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. Not a lot of Star Wars news coming out of SDCC.
No. I think they're waiting for E3.
Okay.
E3, I think you're going to have definitely a Mandalorian trailer.
And they did a lot of stuff at Disney.
Yeah. D23. Yeah, yeah. And maybe another Jedi trailer.
You think?
Not Jedi. What do you call
Skywalker?
It? Skywalker trailer. I don't know. Something.
That
they really
the
did.
I guess that's not the first
trailer.
Well,
it's like now it's like you can't have something for everything because they have Celebration. So they have their own convention.
Yeah.
And then there's E3,
like
which is
to.
Disney's convention. Mm-hmm. So it's like how much shit can you break?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these are the three things I've heard that pique my interest.
Mm.
Article 1, Anthony Daniels said, you're going to see C-3PO do something he's never done before.
Okay.
Now, I have an idea of what this could be.
Okay.
My friend Jen said, he's finally going to fuck R2-D2. Which I believe in my head canon, that's always happening in the background. It's just not on screen. What I think is he's going to fire a gun and kill somebody. Because in the trailer, he's holding like a kind of rifle type gun around his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
I'm trying to think of the things that he has done already. Like a process of elimination.
Well, he's had, I try to block out of my mind all the shtick with him at the end of episode 2, where his head comes off and then they put a battle droid's head on his and he
yeah.
has bad puns like I'm quite
so he
beside
is shooting
myself.
A gun.
Oh, yeah, I guess he was shooting a gun.
Yeah, because he's very upset by it.
What if he, like, sacrifices himself to save people?
Well, I mean, can't they put him back together?
Unless it's unless he totally
gets
fucked
a
up.
Like, he burns.
There's a one-issue, like, comic of an explanation of how he gets the red arm from Force Awakens.
Uh-huh.
And it's so I love it because it Star Wars never gets into, like, the android, like, the stuff that a lot of other things about AI get into. Like, it mm-hmm. never gets into, like, what is their conscience? What is their whatever? But in this story, he basically, like, saves a bunch of other droids and loses his arm, but mm-hmm. takes the arm of another droid to remember him.
Oh.
But then there's this weird thing where he's, like, you know, as a droid, you have your brain erased, but it's not perfect. And then, like, you see like in his head, and you see like little flickers of like Naboo and like shit from the prequels that he doesn't totally remember. And it's like, oh man, what is it to be you, C-3PO?
Like, what are the ethical ramifications of our like control over these droids if that's the story that they're telling us? It's horrifying.
Yeah. So who knows what he's going to do?
Oh boy. All right,
the second thing is, and this is like a month old, but I only just heard this.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams said the connection between Rey and Kylo Ren is much deeper than people think.
Okay.
I think maybe they were both trying to think of how Palpatine comes involved. Maybe Palpatine created them both. Maybe they are two sides of, maybe he like Anakin fucked up, right?
Yeah.
So he was like, you know what? I'll create two strong Force users. They'll fuck. And then have Super Baby, and then that'll be something.
Bill had a bananas theory that I don't agree with, but I just, and I don't think he really believes theories. It. I don't think so, but it's just like a wild theory that I think is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So he's like, so Shmi is like, Anakin's a product of a virgin birth.
Right.
But what if she was just like convinced to believe that because like her mind was altered and it's actually Palpatine's kid.
Okay.
And then he had another kid, so it's like Rey's Palpatine's daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a ridiculous theory, and if they do that, honestly, I think the
the
nerds would revolt. But at the same time, so a lot of people's criticism of Jedi, well, wait, no, what is it? What's the last one? The Last Jedi was that Rey is nobody, right?
Right.
I don't necessarily disagree or dislike that story choice, but I understand the disappointment or why they're upset because J.J. Abrams led us to believe that she was somebody.
And I think he's going to go back on it anyway.
I do. I just hope she's not like a direct.
I've thought she was a clone for a long time.
That's a good idea.
And then the scene in where she's in the cave in The Last Jedi where she sees like herself reflected a bunch of times.
That strengthened my feeling. Oh, I like that.
Because we have it wouldn't be a break of canon. Like, we have clones in this world. Clones are a thing we have.
Right.
So it wouldn't be like out of nowhere crazy. I don't know.
Or like a previous Force user or one of the original clones.
I don't know. Or she could be like Anakin. Mm-hmm. She could just be Palpatine used the Force to create a child.
Right.
Like, maybe she was a virgin birth. Maybe she only has a mother or whatever.
Because what is that ship that they kept showing us?
Right. And it's in the trailer for the new movie. Right. Right. Yeah. Because if what Kylo Ren said is true and they were just like,
drunks
like, why are they leaving the planet? Those people don't go off planet,
right?
You see a ship leaving,
like leaving, not like going to the other side.
Right
Yeah, I don't know, there's a lot there. I think that's my biggest criticism of this new trilogy so far, is basically it seemed like no one's at the wheel, kind of I just thought it was going to be a tighter execution, like a Marvel execution essentially, like where they had it mapped out, like this is going to happen here.
They didn't have answers,
and then kind of like
they didn't know who Rey was.
Right.
They did not have answers.
Like, that really worries me about this.
Or
series.
Maybe she was going to be Luke's daughter, and that became such, like, everyone figured that they were like, we can't do it now.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, the third thing is Kevin Smith has seen the movie already. Because
why?
I don't know. Because he gets to
do
things like that.
Did they think he was going to die?
No, he's very thin now.
Weirdly, he and Jason Mewes look younger than they did in Jay and Silent Bob. Was it Strike Back?
Or? Yeah. He said that the last shot...
It just took him to the brink of death to get there. That's
well,
all.
Jason Mewes is... He's lived a lot of days. You can see him on his face. Kevin Smith says the last shot of the movie will blow your mind.
All right.
So... let's have some wild speculation.
He also said he cried hysterically at the Stanley cameo in Captain Marvel because he was using...
because it was a reference to him.
Right. But he actually, he was using... So, did you know the story? Did you hear about it? Okay. So, they called Kevin Smith saying, do you have any other takes of him saying the line or practicing the line? Mm-hmm. Because when Stan showed up to set that day, he was feeling very weak and his voice wasn't loud enough for them to catch on the mics. So, they had to use recordings of him from Mallrats.
Uh-huh.
So, he knew about the cameo before the movie because they had to approach him to get the audio.
Right.
And so,
he's
just like, I cried for an hour.
See, okay. I don't believe that his voice was... I don't believe that his voice was weak. I think he was probably all dementia'd out. Mm. I really think for the last couple of years, they've been trotting him around like a, like Weekend at Bernie's. I really do.
Phil's face. He was like, ooh, that one hurt.
All right, so maybe it's like a new... order, the Skywalker order, and it's just a bunch of people.
I think the Skywalker order is going to be a thing. I really do.
I'm thinking about what the last shot might be, though.
Okay. Okay. Oh,
maybe it's a retread of the last shot of Return of the Jedi, but it's like everyone who died, like Yoda, Anakin, Padme, oh, you know, like everybody, just a like rogues gallery there. Of people, everyone who ever died.
So bad.
Everyone who ever died. Kylo.
I just had a horrible thought that would break my. Even joking about it makes me sad, but like, what if Carrie Fisher never really died? They were just fooling us the entire time.
Wow.
She comes out. She's like, I'm here. It's me, Leia. That would be a dream come true.
Wow, JJ, I wouldn't even be mad at them.
I would just be so thrilled that she was back.
Be so thrilled. I mean, the greatest trick Carrie Fisher ever pulled was
convincing the world that she died.
Them and Andy Kaufman are all going to come out.
Oh my God.
Andy Leia Kaufman Gate. Was the emperor. All right, so let's move to San Diego news. All right, so God, we can talk about Cats all night, but we can't.
Oh,
so let's just
God.
Briefly say the Cats trailer. Everyone's been saying, oh, it's so scary because it looks so uncanny. My actual reaction was laughter, which is not good for a movie that they've spent millions on. I literally, not being snarky, not being ironic, alone watching it on my phone, could not stop laughing. It's one of those things where it's like, did nobody say, hey, this is all bad? Yeah. Like,
I don't know. It's the thing you pointed out to me about the human chins.
Oh.
Somebody did.
It makes my testicles go inside my body.
So it's just somebody did like slight editing on it where they made the bottom of the face like furrier and made the nose a little more animalistic.
Yeah.
And it looks like 100 times better. Like all they had to do was just alter it
a little bit.
You think they'll go the Sonic route?
I think maybe.
Because it's just getting like panned.
It's really getting shit on.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be too much of...
I think the character design actually works for some of them. But I think it really doesn't work for others. So like the main character who's a ballerina, whose name's like Florence something. The like unknown one that they're like and introducing. The white cat.
Yeah.
I think she looks really creepy.
Well, the shot that they keep showing of her at the dinner table with like...
Yeah, like the fork and knife with the like crazy smile.
It haunts me.
No, that's really upsetting. Well, the Us music trailer. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
It really goes well.
It works so well. Jordan Peele commented like, yes, this works. I think her design is horrific. I think Jennifer Hudson's just looks sloppy.
Yeah, it just looks like jibber jabber.
She's so good.
It's just like, this is bad copy and pasting.
She sounds amazing.
Yeah.
She sounds great. Taylor Swift's design I actually don't think is terrible. It's not as bad as the other two. Judi Dench's, I think, kind of works. Jason Derulo's, I think, is fine. Idris Elba's, I think, is fine.
Yeah.
James
Corden, maybe it's because they're bigger.
Oh, Rebel Wilson's
But James
so
Corden
weird.
And Rebel Wilson both upset me.
In the Us trailer, when he like belly bumps somebody, that's when the real ominous music starts.
Oh God,
it's so perfectly timed.
I can't stand him.
People I've seen are like British people. Are like, sorry about James Corden.
Remember when it used to be sorry about Ricky Gervais?
Now it's sorry about James Corden.
So I have no connection to Cats.
I've never seen it.
Heard
either.
It.
Yeah, I know the song. That's it.
You know, I've been looking at the images of the suits they wore in the show, and I think that there's, looking now at how bad it can go, I think that there was actually a real genius to the suits in the show because they're animalistic, but they also aren't trying to look too much like real cats. They're just like odd, interesting fur.
Yeah.
Which is maybe how they should have went with this.
Maybe.
Or any costumes. I don't understand why we just use CG for nothing. Like, just we'll just put
like,
fur on you later.
CG
just like
boobs.
Yeah.
That's super
weird. Yeah, the weird
cats
choices.
Don't have breasts. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
The weird choices they've made of what
to include from humans, yeah. And what to, yeah, I don't, like, they have very human butt cheeks.
They like, do, but then like a tail.
It's a big tail. It's so, it is upsetting. I don't think it's like the scariest thing in the world. I just think it's like a bizarre.
I think it would make a baby
choices.
Cry though. I think you put that on, a baby on. Would cry. I think a baby would just be upset.
We'll have
deep,
to test it out.
Deep in its soul. Just like when a baby knows something's wrong.
Something's not right here.
Anyway,
I'm going to see it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Opening night. I don't. Maybe this is just me, but it looks like the scale is wrong. They look like hamster size.
They're
they look way too small.
They're way too small.
They need to be a little bigger. Yeah.
They're like jumping all over the bed, and they're just like the tiniest cats.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're kitten sized.
Anyway, let's move on. Did you see the trailer for the Harley Quinn cartoon?
I did. It's bananas.
It looks
very
like
Deadpool.
Hard R. Yeah, very Deadpool. Right. In the opening, it, you know, the animation itself looks like Venture Brothers, kind of.
Okay.
You know, like, it doesn't look like the rest of, like, the DC animated world.
Uh-huh. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the animated series The Batman. Do you
oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
a little blockier.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love their character design. They had a gorilla Joker. He had like the physicality of a gorilla.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
a really
that guy.
Big dude.
Yeah.
And he had like dreads.
And like spike. Yeah.
And he had his knuckles like on the ground.
Yeah.
It was like bizarre.
And he was like in a straitjacket, right?
He was kind of in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
And he was sort of like a match physically for Batman, which Joker never
it's
is.
An interesting idea.
And he was just like a. He was the same character essentially, but he was just like a big dude.
And he was kind of coded as person of color, right? Because
I believe
the performer
so.
Was a person of color.
Actually, wait, was it? Oh no, it was. I think it was. Yeah.
Well, in the first, you know, instance of the trailer, Harley Quinn comes in and she says, "It's me, dickhead." So it looks like it's going for hard R.
Yeah.
And
what's it going to be on?
It's going to be on DC Universe.
Oh, okay.
One thing it's Kaley Cuoco from.
Right.
Did
she done the voice for Harley before?
No.
Okay.
The other one from Big Bang has done it. The
other blonde.
Yeah, the other. Yeah.
Not Blossom.
Right, not Blossom. The other blonde one.
Okay.
Melissa Rauch or Roach or something.
I don't know.
She did it for Harley Quinn and Batman, the animated movie.
Okay. I think Tony Hale's going to be the Joker again. He did it for something.
He did it for Batman Ninja.
Oh, that was it.
Which I did not like his performance at all.
Oh, really?
But maybe he'll go different with it.
Yeah.
I like one of the things they show in the trailer is her beating up the Joker. And I like a version of Harley Quinn that's not completely beholden to him and gaslighted
by him. Yeah, she
seems
very like she's on a rampage to get him
in this
trailer.
She's on her own.
And like maybe there's some tension there with Poison Ivy. It looks like it.
Oh,
those
yeah.
two. When are they going to get together?
Come on. Come on now. I'm excited about it.
Poison Ivy's always just like, why are you wasting your time on this idiot?
Right. It's amazing she's become such an interesting... For someone created in the 90s, she's become almost integral.
She's always had that hold on me, as you know.
Yes, I do know.
But I always felt like she was in... Well, she is, but she's in an abusive relationship, and it's basically about her like getting broken down and then finding... I don't know.
Right.
I feel like it does glorify and romanticizes abuse and madness.
Well, I think it did, but I think...
Now I think they're kind of turning it.
Yeah, I think contemporary Harley Quinn is very much on her own. Like, I know in at least one of the comic lines, she kills the Joker.
Mm.
So...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because she's also turned kind of good. She's very Deadpool-ish because she's like, I'm bad and good and funny.
Yeah.
And whatever, I'm here.
The Batman animated series, like just the classic Paul Dini one, has that episode. I think it's Harlequinade, where she is like with Batman and Robin because the Joker like abandoned her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like out to get him, and she's kind of assisting them because she's like heartbroken.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she's holding a gun on him. And that's like the famous scene in the animated series where she pulls the trigger, but it's a fake gun. So it just says bang. And then he says, baby, you're the greatest, like honeymooners, and kisses her. And that's like, and it ends with just them kissing and Batman and Robin looking at each other. Like, what the hell?
Weird foreplay.
These two.
She's such a great character.
She really is.
I think you could be good. I'm a little angry at DC Universe because I got it for Titans. And then Titans, right when it was done on DC Universe, went to Netflix. And then
it's like, what are you paying for?
Exactly. Because then Doom Patrol came on. And Doom Patrol is basically the only successful thing they've had so far. Mm-hmm. Doom Patrol is actually really good, gets good reviews. So now season two of Doom Patrol is, I think, going to be on Netflix or somewhere else. So it's like,
it's only a matter of time they sell their catalog to Netflix.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm not even getting things early at this point. So I don't know what I'm paying for. Because it's like the minute like they had something that was good, they were like, oh, yeah, we'll go somewhere else. They were immediately ready to go somewhere else with it. So Marvel announced that Endgame beat Avatar. Oh,
man, they squeaked right by. Who is watching Avatar this much? Who gives a shit?
Well, that's the mind-blowing thing. I feel like I'm happy that we now live in a world where the most financially successful movie of all time has cultural relevance.
Seriously.
It's like become such a frustrating joke. Like, nobody gives a shit about Avatar.
Yeah. Although both properties now have Disney links, because Disney's doing has Avatar World at the Animal Kingdom. I don't know what their connection with that property is.
Well,
is it their production company?
Well, no, it was. Wasn't it Fox, and then they bought Fox?
Oh, maybe that's why. It is mind-boggling to me how that movie did that well.
You know, like many other tragedies in history, I look back and go, how did it happen?
Just like the Hindenburg.
How did it happen?
The Titanic. Avatar.
I think it was...
You think it's a 3D?
I think it's just a 3D.
I think so too. I think it was just the novelty of the 3D. It was a
spectacle. But still, it's a lot of people fucking saw it.
I know.
A lot of people saw it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I saw it. I saw it in 3D once. My mom went like three times. I was like, what is it about this movie that you love so much? She's like, it's just how creative it is. Like, the world is so creative.
This movie gaslighted us.
I was like, what? She was just like in awe of the planet, like Pandora. She was in awe of all the creatures and the plant life and the character. Like, she just thought it was so new. And maybe it's because people who aren't usually exposed to sci-fi or high fantasy, because like people who read comics like that, watch shows like that, they're like exposed to new lands and like world building all the time.
I've seen blue people.
Sure. But I guess for a mainstream audience, it was like, oh my God, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's my, I don't know. That's a theory.
We should make a documentary on it.
Why Avatar?
Just like really dig into it. Because you know, he's been threatening us with sequels for so long. I'm really interested in what will happen. Will they just fucking turd out?
Zoe Saldana's in both of those movies.
What do you mean? Both what movies?
Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And Avatar. Wow.
So she is...
she's got to be making bank,
she's the best actress of all time, right? Isn't that how
she's
that works?
She's in huge properties.
Transitive property.
Star Trek. Like, she's
great.
She's in a lot of stuff.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's like... I'm cool. I'm still in the most successful movie ever.
Yeah. And in Center Stage. And that movie holds up. Not really, but I like it.
I've never seen it.
It's a ballet movie.
Okay. So Marvel also talked about Phase 4. And Phase 4 will have...
a lot of fun stuff.
A lot of fun stuff. Thor, what's it called?
Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder.
Yeah, I love that font.
Which Natalie Portman's coming back, and she's going to be the female Thor
from
the comics, which is really cool.
I thought they had ended things kind of on a weird note with her, because she said for Ragnarok, they just never called her. So she was like, people would ask her like, oh, why weren't you in the movie? She's like, I don't know. I just never heard from them. So I thought like it was kind of a weird thing.
Right.
But then... there was that scene in Endgame that she was in.
But she's like not even really in it, though.
She's not really in it,
I think they use old footage or something.
Yeah, was that scene in...
I think it was a trimming from it.
Maybe.
I don't know if it was in it. But
I was wondering that.
They didn't have her come back to have one shot where she doesn't say anything.
Right. Well, true. So I was very shocked by this, but very pleased by it.
Yeah. I think it's a good direction to go.
Yeah, definitely.
It's Taika Waititi again.
Yeah,
so it's going to be funny. I was thinking, yesterday I watched for the first time ever the 2016 Cinderella.
Oh, okay. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's actually better than, like, because I don't like Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
That movie, interesting to compare it, because it's not, it has no music. Like, it's not trying so hard to be identical.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that movie's directed by Kenneth Branagh, and it reminded me that Kenneth Branagh directed the first
Thor.
He
did, yeah.
And it's very Kenneth Branagh-y.
Yeah, it was very, like...
I'm holding the head of Yorick as I say that.
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, and... Anthony Hopkins is doing like a very
Shakespearean
performance. Yeah.
Taika Waititi came in and was like, this needs to be funny.
He basically Hamlet-2'd the whole production.
It needs to look like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's got to be fun and silly.
Thor in space. He's a space god.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Let's do it. So Valkyrie. That's exciting. So of course. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. And Valkyrie is... what's the deal here? Is it...
bi confirmed? Gay confirmed? I don't know. She's the king of
Asgard.
Is it
confirmed? Or is it just...
She just said it?
She just said it.
Oh, I don't know. Because there's stuff about Tessa Thompson, too. Like, people think she might be with Janelle Monáe. They don't know.
But Tessa Thompson is... bi, right?
Janelle Monáe has come out as pan. Tessa Thompson, as far as I know, and I've been paying attention. I don't think she's come out.
Interesting.
There's all these rumors like swirling the actress's sexuality. So I think that's kind of interesting. But there was a film, something they filmed for Ragnarok that they didn't use, which was Thor goes to Valkyrie's room. And
she's fucking a woman.
Yeah, a woman leaves.
Oh yeah. I like that. Okay, so I think it's time Marvel has just, especially like we've done Endgame, we had the most successful movie of all time at this point. We're just playing with house money,
right?
What are we afraid of at this point?
China. I mean, are we really though?
Nah, I'm not. If I were Marvel or Disney, I don't think I'd be afraid of China.
Mm. Me neither.
I
but who knows? It's a huge market.
Yeah. See, this is something I'm not.
Some of the movies only make returns because of China.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Well, then you got things like Iron Man 3 has scenes with Chinese actors that are like specifically for that country, like extra scenes. But hopefully, we should have that.
We'll see. So she's the king of Asgard, and she said she needs to find her queen. So nice. That's fun. I like that.
We've got a new Doctor Strange movie, which they're saying is going to be a horror movie.
The Multiverse of Madness. Yeah. It's like the Mountains of Madness, like H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. And Marvel said this is going to be our first horror movie, which is interesting.
It looks very scary. It's like red. Yeah. Everything's red.
They're doing interesting things.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, I don't give a shit about.
I liked the first one.
I liked it in theaters, again, because it's like a spectacle. It's a great movie to see in 3D.
Yeah,
it is. It's really funky. But I don't know. That character, like, I don't really care about the character.
Well, again, I feel
Benedict
like...
Cumberbatch is like... the anti-funny, so every time they tried to play him for jokes and laughs, like, oh boy.
Yeah,
I know his American accent isn't great. I like him in general, like I loved Sherlock, but I don't know.
Again, I feel like they just have a blank check to just do whatever. Let's try this.
Why
let's
don't
try
we start
that.
Taking risks now? That's yeah, exactly. Exciting. Although they kind of did with Taika. Kevin Feige takes way more risks than Kathleen Kennedy does, 100%.
Oh, I agree. I'll say forever, the version of Solo that
the Lord Miller
Lord
version,
Miller made,
I'd love
probably
to see it.
That could have been like the Taika Waititi.
I 100% agree. Like that was their chance to have a Ragnarok.
Right. And they were like, well, we can't have it too funny. And it's like, all right.
With Ron Howard.
Yeah. What else is coming? Blade.
Mahershala Ali is Blade. That's very exciting.
Now, some nerds are like, well, he was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage. But I think what's happened is they're no longer MCU canon. I think the first seasons were like season one of Daredevil and season one of Jessica Jones, they have specific, like you see like destruction in the background because it's supposed to be right after the first Avengers, and there's specific references to it. But supposedly Feige wasn't behind those shows,
right?
So he didn't give a shit about them. But also Mahershala Ali is not the first person to double up. Because
true, Halle Berry has been Storm and Catwoman. I mean, granted, it was Marvel and DC, but
I'm saying in the MCU, Alfre Woodard has a character in Civil War, and then she plays a different character in Luke Cage. So he's not the first actor to play two in the MCU.
Oh, in the MCU, okay, because there's a few that do, different superheroes, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. At this point, I think if you're an A-list actor, you've played
Chris
at least
Evans.
One superhero. Right. He was...
Human Torch.
Human Torch and, I like the Blade movies. I think it's a he's Blade. A cool character.
I like
yeah.
Stephen Dorff. I hope he comes back.
Yeah,
I don't think
back.
He will.
You think they're J.K. Simmons him?
Oh my god!
Like
that
you
would
know
be
what?
Great.
You're
he's
the thing we're gonna
so
keep.
So good. I really do love Stephen Dorff's performance in that movie.
I love his performance in that infomercial about blue
e-cigarettes.
Oh my god, e-cigarettes.
The blue e-cig.
And it's in black and white, so you know it's already.
Every time I see it, I'm like. Smoking is really cool.
Guys, smoking's the coolest.
If you take anything away from this, smoking's really cool.
and supposedly these new shows,
yeah.
A Blade, a Thor, no, sorry, Blade,
a
Loki.
A Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
WandaVision.
WandaVision.
Apparently.
Oh, Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Yes. Apparently, Scarlet Witch is going to be in Multiverse of Madness, I think.
Sure.
Also, Black Widow movie.
Right. Yeah, there was a few things they didn't talk about. Like, isn't there Captain Marvel 2?
I believe, yes. Yeah, there is.
So they didn't talk about that, though.
I guess not. I think it's part of the Phase 4. Do you have the Phase 4?
Oh, Phase 5? Oh, it says it's going to be Phase 5.
So, all right. They have the whole schedule, like the release schedule. So,
what about Guardians 3? Guardians 3. What are we up to?
Are you saying 5 over there? Because isn't he already working on it?
That's what I was talking about. Somebody at work, they were saying that everything that's going to be released until 2021 are all the Phase 4. So it's pretty much all the let's take chances.
That's kind of fun.
Interesting. Interesting.
You're probably going to bring it up.
Well, you're bringing it up. You're part of this now.
All right.
They're also talking about the X-Men and Fantastic Four. Now that they've acquired it. They said those are in the works. Like, those plans are in the works. So I imagine those are going to be Phase 5.
I bet they've always been in the works. Oh, yeah. I bet they've always had, like, closed-door meetings of how we would do it.
At the earliest, Phase 5 is 2022, which is 3 years from now. So that puts 3 years in between this newest X-Men movie and the reboot,
what
essentially.
What about the Black Widow movie, though?
The Black Widow movie is Phase 4. And it's going to be...
And it's a prequel?
Yes. But I really didn't... want to do like an origin story because it's basically the Jennifer Lawrence movie Red Sparrow.
Right.
It's like we don't need
when
to see
I saw
that,
I was like, this could easily be
just be Black Widow.
Did
right?
you see Red Sparrow?
I didn't.
One of my favorite lines in any movie
is it like is, bad good?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's also like insanely
a
violent.
Good? Oh, okay.
It's a little real good, but it's also bad good.
Okay.
Because she's doing this Natasha accent.
Yeah.
All right. One of my favorite lines in all film history
is from this movie.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Her uncle is like this evil KGB guy, mm-hmm. and he sends her to this like school to, learn to seduce men and be a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I love you. And she goes, you sent me to whore school. And I think you sent me to whore school is the greatest line.
It sounds like she was sent to horse school.
He sent me to horse school. Like, it's just her at a desk and then a bunch of horses.
Could you imagine, like, there was a misunderstanding and she was accidentally sent to
She's
horse
like,
school?
She's like, wait, what is this script I'm doing?
Someone's just, like, feeding her a sugar cube every day. anyway, Black Widow. It seems like, so this is exciting because I was telling Bill, like, what I want to see is Budapest. They always talked about Budapest. Yeah. Budapest is going to be in it.
Is it?
It is. We'll
so then Hawkeye will be
out.
In it too, right?
I hope so.
Now, it's funny.
I don't know how they're going to de-age him because those lines run deep on Jeremy Renner's face.
Listen, he's lived a life.
He was a makeup artist.
Was he?
Yeah, that's why he always wears like eyeliner at the premieres.
Good for him. It's funny. You could glean a lot just from fonts. And the Hawkeye font is the title of the current comic, which people really like. Melissa Licciardello was talking about this when she was on the show. That's the Matt Fraction version.
Right.
So it seems like from the font, at least, that's what they're going with the show.
Apparently Hawkeye in the comics is way more interesting.
Well, he's got to be an interesting character when you don't have him around like people that can fly and are gods and stuff. You know what I mean? But I got to say, I never cared about him. But in Endgame, I think I did. He held his own. He's interesting.
Oh, well, he's Ronin. He's like full blown. I'm just killing people in the streets.
But then even in the end when like Thor's like, you're a very earthly person. Like Thor's like kind of like. Nagging him, and he's like starts yelling at Thor because it's like, who says fucking? Listen,
I feel like he had
you're the Zeppo here. Like, what
PTSD.
Are you yelling at Thor for? yeah.
But, his but fucking I felt family. Like he, at that point he was really unhinged to the point he would just like he would try to mess Thor up real bad. Like, well, he got probably get killed in the process, but he had like nothing to lose at that point. So it made him really dangerous.
Right. He had that amazing cold open where he's with his family and you're just like, oh my God, they're going to turn to dust.
Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's like that show, The Leftovers. Like that one woman lost her entire family in one shot. It makes you real crazy.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Oh, I don't know if you heard this. Feige said the snap is when everyone went away. Mm-hmm. The blip is when everyone came back.
Blip?
Right. Because everyone was calling it the snap, but then in Spider-Man Far From Home, they say the blip a lot. Oh. And fans are like, what the hell's the why blip? Is it the blip? And they're like, no, the blip is when you come back.
Is it the sound you make?
Yep.
You just blip back into existence?
In Far From Home, you come back exactly where you were. So like Aunt May, who was snapped out, like she's like someone else was living in her apartment.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. They're fast and loose with the rules.
I mean, it makes sense.
Like, you didn't see it yet?
I haven't seen it, no.
There's a character that's older. He was their younger like classmate, and now he's like five years older.
Their friend? They're like his close friend?
No, not his close friend. They.
Is it the kid who says Penis Parker?
No.
All right.
Not that kid. That's what's his face? Mm-hmm. Flash Thompson.
Yeah.
But instead of being a bully, he's like kind of like
he's a nerd bully.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's like a rich kid. Yeah.
I love that kid. Well, he's like an adult man, but Tony Rivoli.
Yeah. Hotel Budapest.
Yeah.
This is something I don't want. So they announced that the Halloween is going to be a trilogy now. The Halloween that just came out with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Yeah. And Halloween Kills is 2020.
And this is just going to be, so now essentially in this like pure, it's going to be like the pure four, right? So it's Halloween and then Halloween.
Yeah.
And then Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to me, it doesn't make sense that they don't count two. How many are there really? Oh, wait, because he's not her sister. She's not his sister anymore.
Right.
Oh, it makes no fucking sense. No, because it went
Halloween and then this one.
Right.
This last one.
Halloween, Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween. Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends.
Yeah. I hated Halloween.
I didn't see it.
This most recent one.
I didn't know where I was in the timeline. I just couldn't be bothered.
It wasn't good. And everyone was like, oh, Jamie Lee's back. And it's like, yeah, well,
what's this thing about like sequels just doing the same movie title as the first movie?
Or adding a the and making a definitive article.
Oh, like the Fast and the Furious.
The Predator.
The Predator. That's right. I would love it if it was like a Predator.
Some Predator. I don't know. I don't give a shit.
I know.
The fact that it's going to now be a series is like, fuck you. Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
They got everybody back. That's incredible.
But is it? What was Shannon Elizabeth doing?
I don't know. But Ben Affleck's, it looks like he's in it. And that's
Ben Affleck doesn't look like he's in anything.
No.
Ever.
So he's in it, which is kind of odd. I feel like I'm always coming at you with like the gossip on the streets.
Hot goss. So,
hot goss is Kevin Smith has said since his heart attack, he's like, yeah, we don't talk. Like he didn't even contact me when I had a heart attack. So I was shocked that he showed up. Maybe, I mean, I guess
and Damon, right?
Damon's in it. He looks a little Data-esque as well. A little bloated. Rosario Dawson. I hope Mark Hamill shows up. He's not in the trailer, but I hope he's there.
Right. Rosario Dawson, she wasn't even in it. She was in Clerks.
She was in Clerks, too. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Will I see it? Of course. But do I think it's going to be good? No.
They both look good.
I like that they
brought the Goodbye Horses joke back.
Sure. Timely. Timely.
Timeless.
Yeah. His daughter's in it, Harley Quinn Smith.
Right.
And she was in the original. She played him as a baby in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back in the opening scene where they're babies.
Oh, she's in Clerks 2 also.
Is she?
Yeah, she's like a little girl in a window.
Sure. She's a talking head on DC Universe.
Oh, really?
DC, every day they have like a 10-minute show or called like DC Today. Okay. And she's one of the talking heads.
Is she fun?
She is fun. Yeah.
She's named Harley Quinn.
Yeah, so she basically had no other choice.
He really set her up there.
Yeah. I don't know. I have such a fraught history with Kevin Smith. I really feel like I loved him and worshipped him when I was younger. Like, loved him. And then, like, just bad movie after bad movie, and then he became a persona more than a director.
Yeah.
And then he became a podcaster. And
yeah.
Then he made like weird horror movies that weren't very good.
Oh, really? I thought they were well reviewed.
I didn't. I tried to watch Red State, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening here.
Right.
And it's funny because like I remember when he said Dogma was the last one.
Like Dogma.
I love Dogma, but he's been saying I'm not going back to this well a lot over the years, and he just keeps going back.
I mean,
he won't stop going back to the well. I like that.
I truly believe he loves it, though, and like, he just does it because he loves it.
I think he does it because fucking JMU's mom was like, "Please take care of my boy," and he was like, "Okay."
That means he's a good guy, I guess.
Well, was it? Was it Mallrats 2, which never happened, or Clerks 2?
Oh, there, yeah, Jason Lee's back. He's in it.
Doesn't surprise me. Why? And he wearing the same outfit that he wore in. Why did people in the Kevin Smith-iverse dress like cartoon characters?
So they just have like one outfit. Yeah. They have like 40.
I guess it's because some people play multiple people.
Thing, I guess.
Because remember, Jason Lee plays multiple people.
He does?
He's in Chainsaw Bob Strike Back as two different characters. His character from Mallrats and his character from Chasing Amy. She's back. Joy Lauren Adams.
Really? I didn't see her.
Yeah, I don't think she's in the trailer, but she's back.
I always thought she would have made a great Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she had the voice for it.
She had a great voice for it.
Yeah, she would have been a great Harley Quinn. I feel like I'm talking myself into it. whatever, I'll see it. I'll fucking see it, all right? All right, is everyone happy now? I'll go see the movie. Will Ferrell's not in it, I don't think.
Who was he?
He was Marshall Willenholly.
Okay.
Which was the three names of the characters from Land of the Lost put together. Marshall Willenholly.
Okay.
Yeah. You got Jason Biggs and James Vanderbeek back.
That's right.
As
I love
they
Vanderbeek.
Were the ones who played them in the.
He's got like both Jason Biggs and Vanderbeek seem to have like a real like self awareness and like sense of humor about their careers.
Did you watch Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23?
I didn't, but I know he's on it. As
he
himself,
plays himself, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's her best friend. He's really
that's
good
so
in that
funny.
Show. Yeah, and he's like he plays himself as like kind of like. Not a loser, but like waning star. Like he starts a jeans company called like Vander Jeans or whatever.
God.
There's a.
I think he's hysterical.
Yeah, there's an episode where they go to like a wedding in the Midwest, and he's like, "These are my people." he's like, "I'm gonna fuck some girl that had a poster of me."
Oh my god!
He plays
god.
Him like a dick.
That's amazing. I'd love for him to have a vehicle. Like I'd love for him to have like a Neil Patrick Harris type resurgence.
Yeah,
because I think he's like very sharp, and I think he still looks good. I'm like, why not?
I loved him in Rules of Attraction.
I loved him in that movie. I love that movie.
I feel like people don't remember that
it's
movie.
It's such of a moment.
It really
like,
is.
Really,
it would be too problematic now.
Absolutely, it is 100%.
Right,
but I still really like it.
Yeah, yeah. I like that they gender swap the one of the characters. Like, I guess it's Jason Biggs' character is Melissa. What's her name from Supergirl? The girl who plays Supergirl.
Okay.
The woman who plays Supergirl.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't know how to say her last name. Benoist?
Benoist, yeah.
Is it Benoist?
Melissa Benoist.
Okay.
She is playing Chronic.
Oh, cool.
So they,
okay,
they,
okay,
they
okay.
gender swapped her.
Speaking
but,
of.
And because he directed a lot of episodes of Supergirl, Kevin
oh, nice.
Smith. But speaking of, yeah, she, for the season 5, I think is coming up,
yeah.
She has a new outfit and she doesn't have the skirt now. She has pants.
What?
Big moment.
Oh, my God.
I feel like this is a big thing when female characters are given pants.
Thank God.
Why is it a big thing?
It's a big thing. Okay.
What if there's no pockets, though?
I mean, that's just torture. I would say as a woman who had to wear a skirt as part of a uniform for years.
Where?
At my school, my Catholic school.
Oh, okay. I was like, what job did you have?
I was a candy striper in the 1950s.
Sure.
Yeah. When I graduated the following year, the girls got to wear pants. Pants were introduced as part of the uniform and I missed it.
Fuck that.
And do you understand the jealousy that I felt? For
right.
these girls.
Because
first of all, in the wintertime, you're warmer. We were not allowed to wear pants in the winter. Like, we had to wear the skirts.
Oh, it's horrible.
So just as far as, like, you know, she flies up real high. It gets cold.
Yeah.
Cover those legs.
Yeah.
Also, just the freedom of movement. Like, I understand she had, like, active underwear. Like, a gymnast.
Right, right.
Has something, so
right.
you're not really seeing anything. So she probably maybe did have a little
right.
more movement in her legs.
Right.
But if you're
but
a general
back to the,
woman
yeah.
walking around in a skirt,
yeah.
you can't really bend over to get stuff
because no.
you're afraid. Or like a strong breeze, then
right.
you know everybody sees your underwear.
Right.
Like I wear bike shorts under dresses for the most part to this day because I'm
uh-huh.
afraid like a cool breeze
you'll
is going to come
Marilyn
along.
Monroe situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that she has the pants. I think
right.
it's, I think also I think the costume design looks great. I think it looks fantastic.
Well, it looks the thing about a skirt is it always feels like so gendered. Mm-hmm. Like the way the Pink Ranger had a skirt over her Power Ranger outfit. Like, it's just like, yeah. I'm a girl. It's like a bow. Like Miss Pac-Man had a bow. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I'm the girl one.
Yeah.
So the fact that she just has a suit that's similar to Superman's now. She's
like a beautiful woman in a superhero outfit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
Also, women have been wearing pants since like the early 20th century.
Yeah, but we're only now allowing it in pop culture. It's only now allowed. All right, let's quickly talk about the Sith Trooper, because you didn't like it.
Well, not that I didn't like it. I just felt like it's a cash grab, which is fine. It's pretty.
So, all right, well.
They had a exhibit. Yeah. They had an exhibit at SDCC, and basically it just explained Stormtroopers
through the centuries.
Where it came from, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, it's like you kind of, it's like, it looks like the Praetorian Guard, but a Stormtrooper. But they said it comes from the Sith heritage. Like, it harnesses the colors of the Sith.
See, that's really interesting to me, because maybe the design isn't that amazing. It does look like a Power Ranger. I just feel like it's
like an excuse to sell more Stormtrooper figures, absolutely. Which is fine, you know.
It's not as bold as, like, when you first saw Captain Phasma, and it that really kind of blew you away. Like, oh, wow, she's like a metallic Stormtrooper.
Well, the Stormtrooper design itself is so beautiful and iconic and simple. It's like minimalistic.
Right.
And I feel like there's almost something, well, yeah, I guess it's like, I was going to say there's something Japanese about it, but I feel like the shape of the helmets is like almost like a samurai's helmet, like Darth Vader.
Well, if you look at the original Ralph McQuarrie designs, like, there you can really see the Japanese influence on them.
You really see it. There's something so beautiful about that design that I absolutely love. It's like one of my favorite costume designs in movie history. And I would say it's because also in wartime you don't see like stark white. You know, see all kinds of camo or like dark colors. And in contrast to Darth Vader, who's like all black, it's really, really cool. And then I think they finally reached their like apex, like their full potential of the costume in
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, when you see blood on the Stormtrooper.
Yes,
you've never seen that contrast. Right. And I thought that was really, really cool.
Right.
So for me, it's like, oh, okay, you're like fucking with a classic. It's fine. I'm not mad at it. But like, I still prefer the white.
Yeah, I understand. The design doesn't thrill me as much as what it might mean narratively.
Yes.
Because even in the original trilogy, people knew Palpatine was an evil dictator, but the average person didn't know that he was a Sith Lord. Like, he used his power to gain political power. Mm. So, like, within the world of the Empire, like, it was a military operation. So to have a rank that's called Sith Trooper.
Right.
It's like, what does that mean?
Right.
And are they involved with Palpatine's...
He's in it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he apparently, because J.J. Abrams... I feel like J.J. Abrams gives stuff away that he's not supposed to. But because Ian McDiarmid has been playing it very close to the vest in a great way, because he was like, oh, well, you know, they told me they were going to use my laugh, but they actually didn't film me. You know, they just used stuff that they had for the trailer, which suggests like, oh, maybe he's not in it. Maybe it's just like a recording or something.
Right.
But then J.J. Abrams was like, working with him was amazing. And he's just such a scary good actor. So like, we know there's footage of him at some point. And Ian McDiarmid said it's not the stuff in the trailer. So
and I have
they really needed to coordinate their stories.
See,
now I'm tantalized. So that
I think Abrams is actually a genius. I think he lets things slip. He knows what he's doing.
I
from all those years on Lost, I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think like he handed over the like, reins after season one. Season one was good.
Like, but remember when the second Star Trek movie came out, and he was like, "Listen, Benedict Cumberbatch is not Khan. I'm sorry, he's not Khan." And then he so fucking was, and everyone was like, "You lied." And he's like, "I know,
filthy liar. I lied.
That's what I do. I fuck with you." So, I don't watch the CW DC shows. I watched like the first couple seasons of Arrow, but then I kind of fell off. I watched the first couple seasons of Supergirl, and then I fell off. But anyway, they're doing like a big crossover event, and Brandon Routh from Superman Returns is going to
Superman.
But he is also – he's already in that universe.
Is he?
Yeah, he plays someone else.
Weird.
So I think they're just doing like a weird multiverse thing. But that's cool. I liked him as Superman.
I loved him as Superman.
Yeah.
Did you know I went back once by myself and just like watched it up until the part where they fly together, like him and Lois Lane, and then I left. I was like, that's all I wanted to see.
I really liked that movie.
I really did too. I thought it didn't get its due. It's the Lex Luthor plot. It's so stupid.
Right. it was so beholden to the old movies. Mm-hmm. So it felt like, I remember a lot of people at the time were like, Superman doesn't even throw a punch. He just catches things. And it's like, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's always been the thing with him. He lifts heavy stuff.
Yeah, I get it.
But I like Brandon Routh as Superman. I think he does a great Christopher Reeve impression, essentially.
Yeah, with his face.
He does the voice too, though. He catches the voice.
Yeah. He was great in the Genie in a Bottle video.
Was he in that?
Yeah, I think he's that's his first Scott thing.
Pilgrim. He's funny.
Yes, he is. He's really good. He's funny, yeah. Did you see the really pointless footage of Rick and Morty season 4 that they let out?
Yeah, I saw it.
I don't know why they went with that, because it's like halfway through a scene.
Yeah.
It's like, it's Morty. Just from the context of the scene, I think that some alien is creating an app with Jerry.
Yeah.
And then, like, Morty's yelling at the alien. And then the alien, like, starts to beep. So Jerry and Morty run away. Mm-hmm. And then they look back and the alien's climbing out the window.
He's, like, very dumbly climbing out a window.
And then they go into his pocket and he's just got an app that says, like, ominous beep.
Yeah. And he's got an Australian accent.
Yeah. I was like, who is it? It's got to be some celebrity. Yeah. I was like, who is this? It was just good to see. I mean, last time they did this, mm-hmm. They showed that amazing scene, or they showed the animatic of that amazing scene of Rick killing all the fucking rats.
Yes.
And it was like, what the fuck is this?
Pickle Rick,
right.
Yeah.
So it was a weird way to go about it, but I'm just excited to see more Rick and Morty.
Me too. It's one of those things where I was like, I'll believe it when I see it, and right. Now I've seen it. So
right. It is, like, it does exist. It is really happening. Yeah, it's like, I'm so into it when it's on, and then when it goes away, I kind of like, I let it go because I can't spend my life waiting for it.
I know.
It just comes every once in a while, like a little treat. That's the way Doctor Who is. Like, Doctor Who takes off years in between seasons.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just like, you just got to live with it. That's how you go on
for almost 60 years. That's how you keep on living.
Yeah. So the trailer for The Witcher came out. I don't know anything about it.
Me neither. Oh, wait, did you watch it?
No.
Oh, you didn't watch the trailer. Okay. So it's a book series.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to talk about it was because it's on Netflix and it has a big name attached to it. Henry Cavill is the star.
Yes.
It looks like he's in an old Targaryen wig, like Daenerys Targaryen's wig, specifically.
The same prop guy was like,
"Whoa." Yeah, just like, well, this wig was expensive. Yeah. It is a lace front. We need to keep it.
Yeah.
So it looks.
Waste not want, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So, It's very high fantasy. I don't know anything about the book series. I didn't read it. Sorry, Witchers. Witcher heads. Where are my Witcher heads at? I don't know anyone.
They're like, we're called broom heads. unsubscribe.
And goodbye. It strikes me as something that's very much scrambling to fill the void of Game of Thrones before the Game of Thrones prequel.
I imagine, though, that there are Witcher fans out there that are like, so fucking excited about this. Like, oh my God.
My feeling is, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna check it out. It's on Netflix. You know, why not? But I feel like it might have the level of success that Outlander has had. Where, like, fans,
like, none at all, really?
No, it does. It has a
dedicated
following.
Fan base.
It has a dedicated fan base, and I think The Witcher might, if it represents the books faithfully.
It's interesting that we're in
whichever those books may be. I'm not really sure. But there's, like, swamp spiders.
I'm into it. One of the reasons I don't think I liked Game of Thrones was it wasn't fantasy enough for me.
Oh, really? Like, what?
I mean, I know there's dragons and like
too much political.
Yeah,
shit.
Like, I want more dragons and zombies.
Yeah.
And dwarves and things like that. Edward Furlong returns to the Terminator series.
And Linda Hamilton.
Yeah. But he's not in the trailer.
No. Okay, so if you Google Edward Furlong 2019, you just see a lot of pictures of him, like, sitting on a curb eating a sandwich, and it's just like, I hope he gets healthy. I hope, because he's had, like, real substance issues, and he seems like he just looks like a little rough, a little worse for wear. So maybe
but John Connor would be a little worse for wear, wouldn't
true,
he?
True. I'm sure he has a lot of issues to deal with.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how they got him, or maybe he made promises to them that, like,
I don't know.
I'm
there's been like five
act.
John Connors since him.
True, like Nicholas Stahl,
right?
Christian
Bale. Christian
Bale, yeah, of course. Jason Clarke, he was really,
yeah,
right. Because Jason Clarke is such a basic name, but I like him. I like Jason Clarke. I like his films. Yeah. So I'm hoping, I hope he gets healthy. I hope he is healthy. I hope he gets his act together because he's kind of not been really acting either.
Well, I hope this movie doesn't trigger him to be bad. I feel like we...
Linda looks great. She looks healthy. She does look good. Looks badass.
But she's always looked great.
They killed her off with cancer in Mexico in
that's one another of the movies.
And it's just like, what?
Yeah. That's another series where the fucking continuity is fucked.
All messed up. Right, right. Because they said the Terminator aged because it was like organic material on the outside, which pretty good save, everybody.
Sure. They pulled that in the last one, too.
Yeah. But now it's like a T-1000?
I don't know.
Who the hell knows?
I don't fucking know.
I just love the Terminator ride at Universal so much.
Oh, like the little show?
Oh, yeah.
It's over now, though, right?
Yeah, it's over.
Sadly.
Maybe they'll bring it back. Linda Hamilton and Ed Furlong filmed scenes for that ride.
They fucking
did. Those were all new.
You bet they did.
Yeah.
He's a little...
I also think we went on that ride together.
Yes. And we went on Spider-Man 9 times because it was raining.
It was so good.
He's a little annoying in that movie.
He is.
He's a little, come on.
Yeah, he's a kid. He reminds me of, what's his face from Indy 2, Indiana Jones 2.
You can't kill people. Oh, Short Round?
Short Round.
All right.
It's just like a loud kid, you know?
I think I like Short Round more.
Yeah?
He was supposed to be in the last one, but
they just like replace him with Shia LaBeouf.
No, he was supposed to be. There's a wedding at the end of that movie.
Mm-mm.
You're fine,
oh,
not
yeah,
remembering
yeah.
it.
No, we Marion Ravenwood marries.
Yeah, yeah, Indy. Yeah, yeah. Fuck that movie. Seriously? Actually, I kind of like it, but it's also I think that series in general is overrated. Anyway,
I agree.
Don't at
I
me.
I agree with you. I think Last Crusade is underrated.
Yes, I agree.
I think it might be the better of the three films. Well, the three originals.
I love Temple of Doom so much. Really? From the bottom of my soul, I love it. I love it so much.
I can't get over Kate Capshaw just screaming.
Yeah. Like oh yeah, seconds. She's super annoying
so
in it.
Annoying.
Talk about no agency.
Yeah.
They went the complete opposite way with that series.
Right?
We got to do a mini on the Indiana Jones movies.
Absolutely.
That's got to happen.
And just the idea that he held onto a submarine underwater for 8 hours.
Yeah.
With no breathing apparatus.
You know, don't worry about it. It's fine. He's good.
The name of the dog, Indiana.
So, they put out a trailer for a Creepshow, the TV series.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's going to be on Shudder, which Shudder is a streaming service.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. It's a streaming service of all horror things.
Okay.
Nadia has it, and she's been telling me that it's good because they've got a lot of documentaries. They've got a lot of. So, it looked kind of cheap, but whatever. Mm. The only thing that interests me is Adrienne Barbeau is in it, and she was in the first movie.
I love Adrienne Barbeau.
Best boobs of the 80s.
Holy cow.
Best boobs of the 80s.
She's got some rack on her.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Maud, she was Maud's daughter. Remember that?
Ooh.
She was Beowulf's daughter.
I don't. And when you're dealing with Adrienne Barbeau, you can only say she has a rack.
Oh, yeah. You have to speak in 80s terms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And she had no problem showing it in movie she did.
Every movie she did.
I think she
also
did
New York, The Fog.
Yeah.
They are on
display.
And then
she did a Playboy spread back then. So
she was the voice of Catwoman in the animated series.
Was she?
She was.
Good work.
Mm-hmm.
She's awesome. All right, so this is the last thing on my list, unless you have anything else.
I don't think so.
The trailer for HBO's Watchmen.
Yeah.
Which is a sequel to the comic series.
Yeah, all new stuff.
It takes place after everything. That's an interesting way to do it, but it's also weird because it's like, will the average person have any fucking clue what's going on?
No.
It looks like Jeremy Irons is as Mantius. He's there.
Oh, Adrian Veidt. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rorschach is gone, but there's also like groups, gangs of Rorschachs.
Right. The police all wear masks. Yeah.
Because they were going after
Cops' families and
right.
stuff.
Right. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The police want the anonymity of superheroes. That's an interesting idea.
Yes.
And it seems like the protagonist is a woman of color.
Regina King.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I think is a cool idea. But it is an odd series. They've done so many weird things with Watchmen. Like, I thought the movie was kind of bad, Zack Snyder. Then you had
to be fair, I thought it was an impossible.
Yes, but
adaptation.
I think you could do it better.
I agree, but I just liked the visual representation that I was seeing because he did really try to stay true to some of the
right,
comic
but
panels.
It was printed at a time where they were using three inks. So, like, even though it's purple, in like making it. It's hard to make. It's I don't know how to articulate it perfectly, but it's like you can be so faithful you're not being faithful.
Okay.
Like, that movie gets the look of that 80s comic perfectly.
Yes.
But doesn't doesn't get its tone right at all, I think.
I agree.
Because it's like, yeah, these things were yellow and purple because this was when we were still doing the old kind of printing.
Mm.
But anyway, then they also recently, they brought them into the DC universe and they had Batman and Superman and all of them work with the Watchmen. Which some people like, some people hate. Of course, Alan Moore fucking hates it because he hates everything.
But he's also a fucking weirdo too.
He's a wizard. He's a living wizard.
He worships the snake god.
Hey, show me a better god.
That's what he says.
Show me one better.
That's his rationale.
Yeah. I mean, I like him, especially when you compare him to Frank Miller, who's become a fucking alt-right psychopath.
Really?
Yeah, Frank Miller is super fucking... Well, a lot of his comics are very like... since 9/11, he's made Muslim people the villains in a lot of his fucking comics. Yikes. He's also very... As much as I love Dark Knight Returns, his depiction of women is always bad.
Yeah, like...
Even the women in fucking... Sin City are not great.
Oh, they're insane.
They're there to, like, be beaten and abused and murdered.
Yeah. And they're there to fuel the male protagonist storylines.
Right. Yeah.
They're there to be motivating devices, essentially, not like actual fleshed out characters.
Yeah.
Ay, that's upsetting. But, you know, it's funny to me because he was so anti-Reagan and his comics were always like making fun of Superman being like a little boy scout.
Yeah. I think he's one of these people that 9/11
really messed up.
Really fucked him up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Watchmen looks cool. I mean, I don't know what to expect from it. I don't know what they expect from it.
Who's doing it?
I don't know. But why not? See, I think Watchmen, if you really wanted to adapt the comic well, it shouldn't be a movie. It should be a series.
I agree.
But they're not doing that. They're making it a sequel. This is almost like when, after years of development hell, they finally made a Dark Tower movie, and it was a sequel to the 8 Dark Tower books.
That's what that was?
Yeah. And it's like, so you made a movie for no one because Dark Tower fans don't like that you made a 90-minute movie based on 10,000 pages of a series. And then the average person has no idea what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. Like, they don't know what the Dark Tower is.
Right. So.
So, did you see the Batwoman trailer?
No, but I've seen her design.
Oh, okay. It doesn't have the costume in it. It's just a very weird short little thing where a tattoo parlor artist, people keep coming in and showing him like a little piece of paper, but you don't see what's on the paper. Uh-huh. And then at the end, you see everyone's getting the Batwoman symbol.
Oh, cool.
And then Ruby Rose comes in and she's like, busy night. And that's how it ends.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's stupid.
That's fun. I'm all for it. I like her as a persona, but she's not a good actress. Like, I saw, she was in The Meg.
Oh, okay. And she was on a season of Orange is the New Black, but yeah, I didn't watch it.
And I don't think she's good, but maybe you don't have to be good for that. I mean, for that kind of role. I don't know.
Is it on the CW or is it on?
I think it's be CW.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, you don't have to be a great actor.
I think it's cool. I think it's a cool idea. And she's going to be, and she's a queer character.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Okay. The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance.
Okay. I have not seen that either.
Netflix.
I've never seen the original original
Neither
film.
Neither have I. But I want to watch it based on the virtue of this trailer.
Okay.
It looks stunningly beautiful.
The original is beautiful
for its too. Time. Yeah. And I think it holds up probably because I've seen still images. And it
that
looks
was
good.
Like his Citizen Kane.
Really?
Like, that was Jim Henson. Like, and when it failed, Jim Henson was like broken inside.
Oh, no.
Because he was like, this is what I was always aiming for.
Oh, wow. It looks gorgeous. Like, it really just looks amazing. And Henson's involved with it, like with the production.
Okay.
So it is very much within the Henson family still.
Are they puppets or not?
They are puppets. But it's puppets mixed with CGI.
Okay.
So it's
because the original is all puppets.
All puppets. So the characters, it looks like, are just puppets. But they show, like, the trailer is like almost like a behind-the-scenes featurette.
Mm.
So it shows you what they're doing. Because I think they really wanted to establish, like, these are actual puppets.
Yeah.
And these are sets that we built. So for the most part, it's physical. It's practical effects. But it looks like there's also green screens in the background. So, like, they're fleshing it out with CGI.
Okay.
So everything looks really grand. Like, it's a much bigger scale, it looks like, than the original.
Yeah.
So I really am, like, scrambling. I need to watch the Dark Crystal so we can watch this because it looks so good.
I'd like put it on one more. Like I woke up sick one day. Mm-hmm. Like you never like wake up at like you wake up too early. Like you wake up at like 5 and it's like your nose hurts and it's like, and I tried to put it on and it was just like it was super serious and I was like I can't take this right now. Right. And I never went back to it. But I was always you know, I recently went to the Jim Henson thing and they had the villains, the Skeksis there, and they're so interesting looking.
Yeah.
So the character design is cool. It's cool that it's gonna be a series.
I don't think it is. I think it's just a movie.
Well, that's cool too.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. Interesting.
Don't come to PCMC for news.
Listen, it's fine. And then the last one is just the It 2 trailer, which isn't like.
I didn't see the new one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
More crazy old naked people?
No, they don't have that scene at all, but it looks fucked.
Really?
It looks so good.
Did you like the first one?
I loved the first one.
I didn't like it.
Really?
And I didn't like the book. I read half the book and then gave up on it.
What did you like?
Which is alone like 700 pages.
I thought it was so, yeah, that's rough. So
I read half and it was like, I can't take another diversion. I hate that. I know.
Didn't you like about the movie? Because I liked it. I actually liked the miniseries as well. I think the miniseries is like trash. I just like it.
I've never seen the miniseries.
Okay.
I only watched it once, but I remember feeling like it wasn't scary. I remember not liking all the CG, and I remember feeling like taking it from the 60s to the 80s made some of the racism against Mike's
character
feel, not that racism ended, but like some of the racism that he's, that like you see the kids picking on him in the 80s, and it's like 80s racism had a different flavor than that. Like, that looks like 50s racism. But there's other things that I thought were stupid.
Yeah.
You think they're going to put in the gang rape scene?
Oh, God. Well,
he wrote that. He wrote that in a book, and we all were okay with it.
Well, apparently it's not rape. It's just like they.
But that's like what saves them?
Yeah, that's so weird. And he's like been very defensive of it and said, of all the things, of all the child murders that are in this book, you talk about a beautiful scene of bonding among the characters. They like.
Bonding.
They like run a train on her.
They do, and they're like babies.
It's awful. It's just so weird. But apparently it is consensual. Like, she's like, you have to. She's like convincing them. I've never read it. I've read that scene.
It is a task.
Because it's like 10 pages long. Just that scene.
Well, that's the thing about that book, right? It'll be like 10 pages of a story. First of all, there's like 100 pages without anything scary. It's just backdrop. There's like 30 pages introducing each character. Mm. Like 30 pages of a short story, and then at the end of it, they get the call to go back to Derry.
Right.
And then there's like, here's 30 pages of a fucking flashback that Mike's grandfather is telling him that has, what's his name, Halloran from The Shining in it. And it's about a fire that took place in like, it's just like, it's so indulgent. It's just so fucking long. It's so much. And people love it. And I like King. So I love some of it. Some of his books I really love. But I'm not a King completist.
Okay.
They like The Dark Tower, the first one I think is, the first three are amazing. Mm. And then like 4 and 5 get fucking crazy. Then like by 6 there's like, golden snitches and lightsabers in it.
What?
And he's in it as himself, Stephen King.
Oh, it's just like super multiverse.
Yeah. Okay. It got
so weird. I just think it's like a fun horror movie. Like it's a lot of fun for me. Like it was a great movie to watch in a theater because the jump scares, like it was like a hot crowd. Everyone was like screaming and like laughing after they screamed, like, oh my God, that really scared me. It was just like, I had a lot of great reactions.
But what about, there's a scene where like Pennywise like looks like something else and then like he comes back and then he like glances back out again as Pennywise.
Yeah.
Like we're all fucking idiots in the audience. Like, just in case you were wondering, kids, it's me. It's still me.
Yeah. It's the woman, it's the right? Like, he's the painting of the woman.
That looked so bad. The CG on that looked so weird, bad.
But it looked, I thought they got away with it because it was supposed to look like a painting. Like, it wasn't supposed to look like a real woman. Like, it was the painting of the woman.
Okay.
I felt like that was okay.
How do the adult actors look?
They look good. They look really good. Bill
it's
Hader
a good cast. I
is,
love him.
Older Finn Wolfhard, which I think is amazing. Smart. Casting. Smart. James McAvoy is Bill.
Yeah.
Jessica Chastain. I mean, like, golden great. Casting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, Ben, super hot.
I think it'll probably be a better movie because
Mustafa, what's his last name? But he's the Old Spice guy. He's Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, in the book, it jumps back and forth between them as kids and adults. So we making the first movie,
the kids are in it.
Just the kids, almost to me, it feels like it didn't feel like it was enough of a thing.
Miniseries is like, I guess it's more true to the book. In and that
Harry
way.
Anderson's in that, so you know it's good.
Yeah. That movie has its moments. Like Tim Curry's performance is great. He's the thing people love about that movie. But there are weird little scenes that really freaked me out about it. Even as an adult, I'm like, that's freaky because it's so low budget that it ended up making a better effect than it was supposed to. So the scene that we see in the very first like teaser trailer where she visits the old woman who lives in her old house. In the mini series, I guess they didn't have much of a makeup budget. So when the woman is getting like looking more and more decayed and decomposed, they just have like this horrible like rubber mask on the actor. And it's a, but it, at that point, but it's now uncanny. A man. It's no longer the old woman who let her in. It's like a guy in the mask. And so it's not supposed to look that bad, but as a result, it creates this very, very freaky look of like a, just a dude in a mask running after her. So that scene, I'm always like, that's so unintentionally scary. Like they didn't mean it's to uncanny. Make it that scary. Yes.
It's Unheimlich.
It's Unheimlich,
That's the way I feel about old Godzilla movies, because you know it's a guy in a suit, but something about it's a fake, it's fake buildings. Like it all to me, like it feels so, I don't know, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
This got nerdy.
SDCC. We did it.
We fucking did it. Janine, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Janine Gagliardi, not available anywhere online.
I'm available on CBS All Access.
There you go. Can you share your login with everybody, please? I'm Mike Bongiorno. This has been Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. Pop Culture Man Children is a podcast that is available anywhere podcasts are available. Every episode that we have done, this will be episode 91, is available and will always be available unless, you know. Hashtag PCMC pod at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram. I think we did it.
You did it.
Let's go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.